Now it's time for me to introduce our speaker tonight. Somebody that I had the pleasure of meeting last year at an offsite and look forward to hearing from. His name is Chris W.
Hi, I'm Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Thank you for having me tonight. I'm glad to be here. Thanks to David for asking me to do this. He was obviously really excited about it because he's not here. So, that's a good vote of confidence right there to start off with. But I heard he, just kidding, I heard he's ill, so I hope he gets better. Somebody told me when I was new that if anyone asks you to do anything for the program, the answer is yes. And I don't know who said that. You might be here tonight if you did. If you're the one, let me know. I don't remember, but that's really served me well for many years to just say yes. I've said yes to a lot of stuff that I probably didn't feel like saying yes to at the moment, and good things have always happened, much better than I thought were coming. So if somebody asks you to do something for the program, say yes. It's been good for me. So I know that there's two things that will happen tonight. Is I'm going to say a bunch of stuff, and you guys are going to laugh at some of it when I didn't mean to be funny. And that's always a good time. And I'll probably cry, and that's always a good time, but that's okay. Those will probably be tears of joy. That happens every time. It's all good. So we'll have a good time tonight. And to me, these meetings, especially meetings like this, are just, these are like celebrations to me, you know? Like, I love the celebrations. And what are they celebrations of? To me, they're celebrations of the fact that there is a solution. And I didn't know that when I got here. I can't believe that there's actually an answer to what brings us through the doors here. Like, I searched for that solution without knowing it for so many years and struggled so unnecessarily for so long, only to find out that there really was an answer, like right when I had given up and thought there must just not be an answer, and there was one. It's incredible. And all the people, I think, who took the cakes and did the, you know, congratulations on your anniversaries, we hear those 60-second blurbs. I mean, that's the whole story, really. There's not a lot I have to add to it. You know, I heard somebody say, what step are you working on? I encourage sponsorship. My life's gotten immeasurably better, I heard. I can't believe how well this works. I mean, I'm just going to say a longer version of that, really. I don't have a lot of original thought to add to that, to be honest. I mean, that's kind of what happened. So I'll just tell you what happened to me and what my experience was, and it was not expected. I didn't expect this to work. But I wanted to start, I brought one thing to read. That I'll share with you guys. This is a quick story somebody sent me when I was new. It's called The Untreated Al-Anon in a Hole. It says, an untreated Al-Anon fell in a hole and couldn't get out. A businessman went by. The untreated Al-Anon called out for help. The businessman threw him some money and told him, get yourself a ladder. But he couldn't find a ladder in the hole he was in. A doctor walked by. The untreated Al-Anon said, help, I can't get out. The doctor gave him some drugs and said, take this, it will relieve the pain. The untreated Al-Anon said, thanks, but when the pills ran out, he was still in the hole. A renowned psychiatrist rode by and he heard the cries for help. He stopped and said, how did you get there? Were you born there? So you're already laughing when I didn't plan for it to be funny. Were you put there by your parents? Tell me about yourself. It will alleviate your sense of loneliness. So the entry of Al-Anon talked with him for an hour, and the psychiatrist had to leave, but he said he'd be back next week. So he thanked him, but he was still in the hole. A priest came by, and the entry of Al-Anon called for help. The priest gave him a Bible and said, I'll say a prayer for you. He got down on his knees, and he prayed for the Al-Anon and then left. The entry of Al-Anon was very grateful. He read the Bible, but he was still stuck in the hole. A recovered Al-Anon happened to be passing by, and the untreated Al-Anon cried out, help me, I'm stuck in this hole. And right away, the recovered Al-Anon jumped in the hole with him. he said, what are you doing? Now we're both stuck here. And the recovered Al-Anon said, it's okay. I've been here before. I know how to get out. It's starting already. And that's really, that's how this program works, right? It's like one person talking to another and telling them that they've been there before and they know how to get out. And that's all it is, like over and over again in every meeting with different topics and everything. So there's a whole bunch of other stuff that we can talk about, but really, that's been my experience is, listening to one person, talking to one person, hearing people who have had their lives get better, and there's a way out. I should mention a couple other things. I have a sponsor. A sponsor has a sponsor. I sponsor people. I go to meetings regularly. I read the literature. I love the literature. I carry this around as a reminder that I really need ideas other than my own. Because the ones in my head that got me here, they just weren't working really well. So it's a good reminder for me. I heard someone early on say to talk about what it was like before and what happened and what it's like now. And I heard that when I was new, and it was in a recording from this meeting. And I was so new, I was like, I'm desperate for answers, right? I thought they meant just do that all the time. Like every single meeting you go to, someone's like, hey, the topic is step three. And so you say, all right. Here's what it was like for me before. I didn't understand step three. Here's what happened. I started actually trying that in my everyday life. Here's what it's like. That sounds silly, right? But I thought that's what you were supposed to do, so I started doing that. And I highly recommend it. It's actually a very good set of instructions, So just what was it like before and what happened and what is it like now is. And so I try to follow the instructions that you guys give me that you call suggestions. Instructions. You can be miserable or here's a suggestion. I'm a big fan now of following the instructions. I don't follow the instructions most things in life. Like most areas of my life I see and go, wow, that's probably kind of optional or this situation's a little bit different. But when it comes to this program, I really do try to follow the instructions. That has been amazing. I can't tell you how many times I've called someone and they make one of these suggestions. And the first thing my head tells me is like, I don't think he really understands what I meant, right? Like, you don't understand exactly how the boss said it to me or whatever the thing is that I called about. But for some reason, because the instructions have worked so well, I always just do it. Like, even if I think they're wrong, and it always works better than what I would have come up with on my own. Like, there's something very valuable, I think, about just follow the instructions, Or suggestions, just follow the suggestions. So I'll try to do that tonight and tell you what it was like before and what happened and what it's like now. And what it was like before was, it was terrible. Everyone's shocked, right? Really? It was bad? It was terrible. I don't know anyone who makes it to these meetings like on fire in life. Everything's going well, they're on a roll, and they just figure they'll stop by and, hey, I'll pick up something else to add to my wonderful life. I came here, I think, like everybody else, because I was out of options. Nothing was working. And I was so miserable. And I was up against this disease that's way bigger than me. And I had no answers. And everything I was trying, as hard as I could, was not working or making everything worse. And I was just totally out of options. And so this is not the only thing I did. Like, I was trying the shotgun approach of do everything, So I was going to these different counselors and I was taking these pills, and that's why I like that story so much. I was doing all that stuff that was offered to that guy in the hole, And I was going back to religious services and I was reading, I had a stack of self-help books like this big on my nightstand, and like any good Al-Anon, I felt really guilty about not making more progress through those books. Or not being able to apply what I read in the book to my real life. I couldn't do it. That sounds good. Improved communication book. But the next morning, like, communication is not any better. You know, it's the same. I'm unable to just read those books and apply it. I mean, lucky you if you can read through the self-help books and wake up the next morning and do it all. That's amazing. I can't do that. So I was trying all those different things, and then a treatment center suggested that I come here to these meetings. And like, to me, it was just one more thing in the shotgun approach. You know, like, sure, I'll try that too. There's nothing I won't do, man. I'm desperate. I need answers. And I couldn't believe, I mean, without expecting it to work and being skeptical the whole time, like somebody else said during the anniversary, they came very skeptical. I couldn't believe that this thing started working. You know, that was the last thing I would have guessed. Like, what it was like for me was, life was bad. I felt like I was out of options. I didn't really know what I was feeling, you know, in terms of real emotions. I had no idea. I was scared all the time. I didn't know that. I didn't know that until I got here and went through the steps and went, my God, I'm scared all the time. I had no idea that was true. If you would have asked me and hooked me up to the lie detector and said, like, are you afraid today? I would have said, no. Like, I'm not afraid today. Like, I had no idea how afraid I was and how driven by that fear I was. And that's just one example of many emotions I wasn't familiar with. And I remember somebody suggested I carry around a sheet, a paper that had like a list of emotions one might feel on it. And I was like, I don't even understand this piece of paper. I mean, like, I've read these words before, but I don't know how to describe or any of these things. I don't know when these are happening to me. What I did know was I was really tense all the time. I was stressed out all the time. I didn't sleep a lot. I didn't take very good care of myself. I was constantly interfering in other people's behavior because I was absolutely convinced that my life would get better if someone else would change. I mean, I believed that 100%. And so I would do all the stuff that many of us do. I would practice speeches in my head that I would give that person that would convince them to start doing something different. And there were lots of these people, by the way. I mean, to varying degrees, just a handful of people who I'd be like, let me tell that person a different way what I meant and see if they won't get better so that I can be okay. I mean, I did that all the time. And that didn't work, and that frustrated me. I had a long list of resentments. I didn't know what a resentment was. But I was just like, you know, I would go through life and pile up relationships, family members, coworkers, whatever, these people who I was upset with. Not everyone, but there were a few around every bend. You know, there was a long list of things that I felt that were treating me unfairly, things or people that were wronging me. And I was piling all those things up and getting more and more frustrated with my own situation. And then when the disease really came into my home was the last straw. So I had two small kids at the time. Well, I still do have two small kids, even smaller. And this disease was affecting them, and that was just terrifying to me. And it made me feel like I had no options, you know? Like, there was nothing I could do, and the time was ticking, and they were growing up in this, you know? Like, and I had to find the answers. And so I started trying everything. I couldn't believe that it started to get better. I mean, so what I started trying was I went to more and more meetings. I mean, that's a good starting point. I started listening to you guys. I started being able to hear you guys. I could not hear you at first. I mean, at first I could kind of hear you, but I didn't like you at all. I mean, I really didn't like the people in meetings. I really didn't, and that sound right there is one of the things that I disliked the most, with that laughter. You know, I walked in so stressed out, like, what? You just told us all that this is like a family disease that's plaguing our lives and that it's progressive and everyone's laughing. Yeah, it's kind of funny now. It was not funny when I was there. You know, it was frustrating. I would sit in the back, always in the back. There's no way I would sit in this chair. I'd be way in the back so that I could leave quietly. And I would get really upset that people were laughing. Like, people are dying here, man. Why are you guys laughing? It's not funny. I need answers, quickly, no break. Like, someone else talk and help it, let it be something that addresses my specific problem, because my specific problem is unique in my mind, right? I need to hear, like, the right, yeah, that counts like that, that lady kind of understands it, you know. And it was crazy. It was a little crazy, but the voices in my head, the more I went, started to come to calm down a little bit to where I could hear more. And the one thing I know was, despite how much I disliked you, so I started to think about you guys a lot in those meetings. I remember going home at night one night and staring at the ceiling fan as it was going around. And some of you have heard this story. And I was thinking to myself, like, you know, those people in those meetings, the problem with them is that they overanalyze everything, you know? Like, like, for example, that one lady today. I mean, she was talking about this thing her boss said, and like, it wasn't that big of a deal, and why do they overanalyze everything so much? And then I can't fall asleep, and I'm like, you're looking at the ceiling fan at midnight thinking about what they said. That's what you're doing. But they overanalyze everything way too much. Like, for some reason, despite not hearing anything that sounded relevant to my life, what I did know was that some of you were getting better somehow. Like, I have no explanation for how that was happening. And I think one of these books, I tried to find it earlier, I'm not sure which one, but one of these books talks about the first gift that a newcomer receives is hope. I mean, that's so true, right? Those first moments where you actually hear the message and think, maybe I'm not different. Maybe I'm not the only person up against this. And maybe there is an answer. And these people are smiling and they are laughing. And I start to hear, like, they're laughing because it's better, you know? They're laughing because their lives have gotten better. And like that nonsense up here that made me mad at you when you laughed, like, started to calm down a little bit. And what I started doing then was, I remember I shared in this, I was lucky to find meetings that talked about the literature and meetings that talked about the steps and a higher power, even though that also made me a little irritated when I first heard about it, that higher power thing. That bothered me a lot too. But I found meetings that talked about those things. And I remember I shared in one meeting, this is the first time I'd ever shared after literally months of taking notes and listening and leaving quietly. And I said, I don't know what it is you guys are doing, and I don't even know what you mean when you say the steps. I see the list, yes. I don't know how you go do that. But it sounds like there's some hope in those. And I'd like to try that. And like, you guys can imagine what happens when someone new at the end of their rope goes, I would like to try that. Can anyone help? Good Lord. I mean, it's like at the break. Like all these people talking to you, and it's wonderful. Wonderful breakthrough moment that I thought was nothing. I actually started by just writing the steps down on Post-its over and over again every day, not even knowing what I was doing. Like, I don't know how to do this, but I can just write the words and see what happens. I don't know, maybe something happened. Who knows, right? I can promise you I did that for a week before I raised my hand in the meeting and said, I don't know what this means, but I'd like to try it. So maybe there was a point to sitting there and writing that down. And so I started working with a sponsor who said he would be a temporary sponsor or a permanent sponsor. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I called a family member of mine who's in AA, and he said, they're like, there's no such thing as a permanent sponsor. Like, everyone's a temporary sponsor. What are you talking about? Okay, all right, fine. It's a good point. And so, you know, he told me to do things that I was desperate enough to do that made no sense. Like, go share at every meeting. Like, why? I don't understand. I don't even understand what they're talking about. The topic today is, I remember this one meeting, the topic today is
it is an inside job.
Go. I'm like, okay, I have to share it every meeting. I don't know what that means at all. I have three guesses of what that means. Like, you know, and I have no idea what those guesses were. But I really needed answers, and I really needed to get better. And that guy said, you're supposed to do that. And he said, sponsor direction, share it every meeting. I'm like, I don't know what that means, but sounds like I'm supposed to go do that. That's fine. So I started doing that. I started opening my mouth. I started talking to people. And that was a big change, man. I started talking to people about what life was really like up here and what life was really like at home. And that's another thing about what it's like before we get to these meetings, at least for me, was I could not talk about it with anybody, and that was driving me nuts. Like, I was so isolated because my experience had been that in society, like, the one thing you cannot talk to other people about is exactly what's going on at home. That's the stuff you don't talk to people about. Shh. And everyone hides it. And many of us probably came from places that did that, that taught us that. Everyone hides it. And so, you know, without ever deciding to, I always hid it. I thought, that's the only thing I can't talk about. It's the only thing I want to talk about. I started opening up in those meetings. I started to feel a little bit less alone. I started talking to some people at the meetings. And it makes a huge difference to talk to someone beside yourself. It's unbelievable how big of a difference that makes. Like, one of my favorite, I think it's page 96 or 296, but the Courage to Change book has this line in it. It says, the paradox of self-honesty is that it requires others. I mean, that's so true. Like, I can't tell what's going on in the world. My perception doesn't work all the way. I can't do that alone correctly. I can't decide what to do next correctly, at least at the beginning, you know? And so I started hearing some of those things, and I was very relieved to hear you guys talk about the fact that this is the family disease of alcoholism. I mean, I didn't understand that at first. And whether or not that's true, it's helpful. I mean, I personally, that's been my experience, but it's a helpful way to look at something, you know? It's like, wait, this is a disease? It's a disease you can't cause. What is it? You didn't cause, you can't control, and you can't cure. I mean, that doesn't sound very good. It doesn't at the beginning, right? That sounds a little step one-y, doesn't it? There's really, welcome. There's absolutely nothing you can do about this. Sponsor says sometimes, you know, it's a good thing there's a step two after step one. It's not good news on its own. It's like, my life is unmanageable. Next. I don't know where I was going with that at all. I still don't know where I was going with that, but we'll see. We'll go somewhere with it. I don't know. So I started hearing more in those meetings. I started trying to do what you guys talked about. I started trying to do what some of this literature says. And I did it imperfectly, and I did it like a maniac. I mean, I did it in a not very healthy, balanced way, you might say. I was over the top. I thought everything was a rule. I didn't like the idea. I was just talking about this in a meeting, actually, last weekend. It really pissed me off that it was a suggestion. It was like, just tell me what to do. Like, why would you suggest things? You know, just like a football coach, like, grab the face mask and tell me, this is what you should do right now, you know? Really irritated me that it was so calm and pat. Oh, it's a gentle program. I don't know, that just bothered me. Like, I didn't want that at that time, you know? And so I started trying to really obsessively apply all of these principles in my own life to the best of my ability, which means imperfectly. But I started trying to do this, and I couldn't do it all at the same time. But what I noticed immediately was that when I do these things, especially step 1, 2, and 3 at the beginning, when I actually did that on some area of my life, it got better. I don't know how, but it seemed to work better than anything I had ever come up with. And most of the time it was like, there is nothing you can do about this. You need something bigger than you, and you should surrender and get out of the way. And I remember I called a guy and said, like, I was told I need to let go. Like, how do I do that? I'm trying so hard to let go. How did you let go? Tell me how to let go. And I think what he said was, what on earth are you talking about? Do you even hear yourself? But in a very kind way. So I started trying to do that in many areas of my life, and it started at home. And I could not believe how well that worked. I started trying to do that at work. I started trying to do that in my personal life. I had a lot of family relationships that were very fractured at the time when I got here. And I started trying to live this way, you know, because I saw you guys living this way and it seemed like it worked better than anything that I had. And sometimes I would do it and sometimes I wouldn't. And when I did, it was just so obvious how well it worked. I mean, I can't tell you how much that alone boggled my mind that something worked. Like, for people who get here desperate, it's like, I'll do anything you tell me to do, you know? I can't believe it if it actually works. Nothing else has ever done that. Nothing has worked. What do you mean, something bigger than myself? I mean, that sounds ridiculous, but fine. Let's try that. Let's see if that works better. And you know, on that whole higher power topic, like, I'm so glad that's a God of my understanding, because I think that's the only thing I would have been able to deal with, really, was it had to be of my understanding. That really helped me get through a lot of the nonsense I thought I had, the stuff I had in my head about what that means, that it was just something of my understanding, that I could turn my will and life over to and see it get better. And it appeared to work, and things started happening in my life that I could not explain. I mean, I remember this one moment that I've shared about before where someone I know was screaming at me, like right next to my face, very close to me, and I remember right where I was standing when it happened. And it went like in one ear and out the other, and I just did nothing. And I couldn't believe that I could do nothing. Like, all I knew was to fight back, to argue back, to defend myself. And the whole thing just went away when I did nothing and got out of the way. I mean, it was mind-boggling that that worked. I mean, and to be honest, today, that's still the thing that I do most of all, is nothing. Doing nothing is like one of the primary principles I see in this list, you know? Like, doing nothing, wait. I mean, do these things, do the steps for sure. But when the quote-unquote problems come in my life, usually the best answer is for me to just do nothing. And I saw this stuff happening that I couldn't explain. Like, I really could not explain where the ability to be quiet in that moment, for example, came from. I remember I had called this guy that I have never seen since, who I used to see at meetings. And he said, and I told him I was told to read Detachment, Love, and Forgiveness out of this book twice a day. And he said, oh, you mean page 82? It's like, man, these people in these meetings are weird. Why on earth would you know that page? And he said, well, that's the one, if there was one thing that I had to take to a desert island out of all of the books, that's what I would take, is Detachment, Love, and Forgiveness. And it talks in that chapter about the fact that this is just a disease, and that the person, it says stuff like, you know, don't pay too much attention to the thrown dish or the bounced check. Like, those are not the people in your life. Those are just their symptoms. You know, that's just the disease. That's not them. Oh my God, that was eye-opening. Like, I don't have to react to all those things. That's not them. And the things that I used to do, that's not me either, you know? Those were just the symptoms. And that was a huge relief. So things, yeah, I mean, I can't tell you how much better every part of my life got. I I basically found that if I take these principles and the steps and traditions and apply them to whatever I'm up against, that that's the best way to live. And you guys taught me that way of life. And that works better than anything I'd ever come up with before that. What it's like today is, it's incredible. You know, it's what those people were describing. Like, life is immeasurably better. There's no obvious explanation for that, right? Like, we all go into a circle, we sit in a folding chair, everyone shares for 3 minutes, say a prayer, we walk out, and life is better. Like, that doesn't make any sense at all if you think about it, really. I mean, that makes no sense. The only thing about it is that it appears to be working, right? If you actually do it, it appears to be working. And I heard someone say that the steps are a series of actions we take that we do not yet believe in. I was like, yeah, that's about it, isn't it? Like, I will go ahead and do this thing that I think is probably nonsense, and somewhere down the road realize that it was actually very useful, and that miraculous stuff came out the other side that I could never explain. So life has gotten a lot better today. I don't have any self-help books by the side of my bed anymore. Those are gone. I donated those to charity. I actually felt bad about doing it. So I'm like, hey, someone, would you like 200 self-help books? I mean, bad news, there's no way to actually start living the way those books describe that I know of, other than to come to these meetings. And all the books from these meetings are not in that stack I donated. So I kind of felt bad about it, but those are gone. I don't see those handful of counselors that I was seeing at the time when I got here anymore. When I was taking this medication when I got here for anxiety and depression, and it's supposed to give really painful withdrawal symptoms. And this is not like me at all, but one day, as life was starting to get better, I took the last one and I just threw the bottle in the trash and I didn't go refill it. And it's not like me at all. Like, normally I'd be very worried about the fact that I'm going to get those withdrawal symptoms. And, you know, those never came, and I have no explanation for that. And I never filled that thing again. I am not at all telling people not to take their prescriptions. But I'm just saying that was another bizarre thing that I had no explanation for, you know? And it was one of dozens and dozens. And I went to SoCal AFG when I was fairly new. And there was a lady at the front who said, the topic of this meeting is, what has Al-Anon done for you? And I had this little book, and I started writing down in the left-hand column what it was like before and what it's like now. And it just blew my mind, man. The pen just kept going across the paper over and over again. I used to not talk to my brother. Now he's one of my closest friends. I used to not get enough sleep at night. Now I sleep a reasonable, I mean, it just went, some of the stuff was small, some of it was big. Some of it was like, you know, I used to drive around with the gas tank empty all the time and the car unregistered. Now the car's registered and the gas tank's always full. I just, you know, maybe that's related to this, maybe it isn't, but the fact that those pages just kept going and going and going with ways that my life got better was totally unexplainable and amazing to me. I mean, it was just incredible. I remember my sponsor said, you should go to a meeting and share about your car being registered now. I was like, who cares? That's so stupid, right? And I went to a meeting and I shared about the car being registered. I'm not kidding you. Three people came up to me and were like, yeah, my car's not registered. Or, yeah, I used to always be behind on my registration. I didn't have insurance before I came to the program. So, I mean, that's not really the problem I came here to fix. But there's just so many benefits that have come out of this way of living for me that I cannot explain, other than something bigger than me is doing for me what I could never do myself when I lived the way that you guys taught me. Like, that's the only explanation I have for all of those pages. I'm a different person today. I remember the day I was at this meeting and there was a gal there who was speaking, and she said, this is my 2-year anniversary or something. And she gave her 15-minute pitch thing, and afterwards I said, wow, I hope I can get, I hope my life gets better like yours does. I hope I have an experience like yours. That was incredible. You can't believe how much different you sound when you first got here. And she said, look who's talking. Like, do you have no idea? Did you know you didn't smile when you got here? And I was like, what are you talking about? I'm a happy-go-lucky guy. Even when I got here, I was still making jokes about my intolerable situation. But I know what she means now, you know? Like, something did change, and people see that and go, how are you doing that, you know? That's the magic of that attraction, not promotion thing. I swear, when I stopped telling people about how well this program worked, especially family members, because I did that thing at the beginning, right? I went, you should go now. You're part of the problem. And of course, that made no one else go, right? No one. And then you leave them alone, and they see your life change, and every once in a while, not all of them, but every once in a while, you get that question, what are you doing? Like, what happened to you? I mean, that's a wonderful thing to be on the receiving end of. What happened to you? What are you doing? And then the other thing I experienced that I was talking to someone about recently was, even the people not going to the meetings, they seem to be behaving a lot better too. Like, I've heard you guys talk about that. Only I come to the meetings, but everyone I work with appears to act differently. That's awesome. So it's not actually necessary that I convince them to go. I just need to go myself, and they'll all get better. Sometimes, a little bit. So there's just been a lot of changes to my life. I don't always remember this, what it's like today. It's amazing, it's wonderful, but I think many of you who have had unexplainable improvements in your life have noticed that it's easy to be like, yeah, I know my whole life has changed and I'm happy now and everything's peaceful and calm at home and I have people I can turn to and I'm no longer alone and maybe my job situation is better and my financial situation is better and I have new friends and I have these wonderful people that I know. However, I'm a little worried this morning about whatever. Like, I still do that every morning, you know? It's like, only 1,000 of my problems have been solved. 1,001, I'm like, yeah, that's kind of bothering me today. And then it's back to the meetings and back to the principles that you guys taught me. That's the only place for those things to go, where I usually realize I don't actually have a problem. I mean, that's a lot of what I realized. That problem is in my mind. I'm the manufacturer of the problem. And I'm glad I have answers now and tools and places to take those. Life is so good in ways that I didn't know was possible. In fact, I was remembering with someone at the break, there was this time where several of us from this meeting went on kind of an outing together, all guys who have kids. And we had an amazing time, had this great time, and there was this one point of that day where all our kids were off on this playground playing. It was just the four of us talking. And I just remember we started talking about the fact that this life we are living is totally impossible based on where we came from, man. This is totally impossible that my life be like this. And it's impossible that those kids are growing up in the situations that they're growing up with, given where the rest of us has come from. I mean, that is not possible. It's not possible for me on my own to treat people the way that I do now most of the time. Those experiences are invaluable, you know? Things have gotten so much better. And I know it's bigger than anything that I could have done on my own or that we could have done on our own. And I remember being new here and I thought, you guys would always say I'm a grateful member, and that irritated me too. I don't really think I could understand being grateful, you know? Like, I could sit around the Thanksgiving table or whatever, and when someone says, say something, you're like, okay, fine. But I couldn't actually feel that, you know, deep down, like experience that. And I do that on a daily basis now, and it's awesome. I highly recommend it. And some of you from this meeting are on an email list that we have that some miracle workers set up, where we just send lists of stuff we're grateful for all day long just coming into the phone over and over again. It's just amazing, you know? And the first thing that I always put on the list is that I'm grateful I've had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. Someone told me early on, like, you know, you're gonna go to a lot of meetings and talk to a lot of people, and the outreach calls are great, and the phone lists are amazing, and the meetings are tremendous, and the literature is great, and all of that stuff is wonderful. But the program of recovery is the 12 steps and a higher power. I mean, that was his experience. That was his understanding. And I'm glad he shared that with me. And I'm glad I have that power in my life today. I'm glad I've had that experience to be on the other end of having my eyes open to stuff every day, you know, and of living just a completely different way these days with an open mind and seeing life differently. You know, I live in the same neighborhood. I have the same kids. They have the same mom. I have the same relatives. I have all the same coworkers. Like, I'm in the same zip code. I have the same employer. I sit on the same floor. You know, everything is almost the same as when I got here. And yet it's absolutely different. You know, it's 100% different. It all looks different even though it's the same. I think that's what they mean about that new pair of glasses thing. You know, just seeing life through a new pair of glasses. I have one other thing I wanted to read that someone sent me when I was new. You know, when there was this guy, he's not here tonight, but when I was like barely hanging on by a thread and all I knew was that maybe something in this room could help, I used to call this guy every day at 10:15, 5 days a week, go outside, and we would read three paragraphs from one of the books and then each share about each of those three paragraphs and then hang up and go back inside to work. And you know, that sounds small, but the person on the other end of that call who's done that for me, I mean, it's just incredible. Saved my life. And all of us have probably had those experiences where someone on the other line answered and was with you through those problems, and what a gift they give. And like anything, you know, what usually happens is the person giving the gift is the one really receiving it here. I didn't get that at the time. I was like, why would this guy talk to me for 15 minutes every day? Just because I think my life is not worth living. You know, why is he doing this? This is crazy that this works without anyone being a professional. You guys ever think about that? It says that everything that happens here is totally unprofessional and yet it works. I mean, that's insane. So anyways, he sent me this thing one time, it's a prayer. The author's unknown, I guess they're anonymous, that's funny. It says, I asked God for strength that I might achieve, and I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I may feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for and everything I had hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most truly blessed. Like, that blew me away, man. I did not get any of the answers that I was looking for when I came here. I never did find out how to make someone else behave differently. I mean, nothing that I wanted when I set foot in the doors happened. Like, I actually used to walk up the stairs to one of my favorite meetings. I would walk up these stone steps, and I remember all I could think was, what a tremendous loser you are that you have to go on a Saturday night and hang out with all these other tremendous losers. You are obviously cursed. You've been dealt a very unfair hand. Like, that's how I saw life, you know? And it was just months later, I was walking up that same path going, God, am I lucky to be at this meeting with these people. It's like we have the winning lottery ticket, you know? And we barely even recognize it. what is it, 20 million people in LA, a couple hundred people at this meeting. We are all lottery winners. Like, you know how many people need to be here? And we're the ones who found it. It's unbelievable. And we found it looking for something else. It's unbelievable. So I didn't find what I was looking for. My unspoken prayers were answered. And I hate to say it, I'm Chris, I'm a grateful Al-Anon. As much as that bothers me. And I thank you guys for having me tonight. I love you. There's no place I'm more at home than in these rooms and with you. You know, I used to feel so out of place when I first came. So if you're new and didn't raise your hand because you're new and you feel out of place, you know, there's hope. I felt that before. I actually can't believe people announced that they're new. That blows my mind. They're like, hi, do we have anyone new tonight? When I was new, it's like, there's absolutely no chance I'm raising my hand. What, are you out of your mind? So if you're like I was, you know, it does get easier, and now there's nowhere I'd rather be. And I love you guys, and thank you for having me tonight.
It's time to suggest, let's thank our speaker once again. I'd like one last volunteer to come up and read the Al-Anon Close.